rituals, including unity. President Putin hails Russian troops for stopping a civil war after a weekend mutiny by the Wagner mercenaries. And Britain's cost of living crisis takes its toll on kids and youngsters, as a record number of them are seeking help for mental problems. Hello and welcome out from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the Hajj pilgrimage can result in the spiritual and moral elevation of mankind. In a message on the occasion of the major Muslim rituals, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Hajj is a microcosm of the diverse population of the Muslim world and helps bring security to all human beings. Now, the leader said Hajj can also foil the plots of hegemonic powers and the Zionist entity aimed at promoting moral decadence in human communities.
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, praise be to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon the great Messenger of God, Muhammad al-Mustafa, and upon his pure progeny, and upon his chosen companions. The Abrahamic call to Hajj and his universal invitation have once again addressed the entire world from the heart of history, making eager and excited the hearts that are ready and which remember. The invitation is addressed to all human beings, and proclaim the Hajj to all the people. The Kaaba is the blessed host and a guide for all people. Indeed, the first house to be set up for humankind is the one at Kaaba, blessed and guidance for all nations. The Kaaba, as the focal point and the main focus of attention of all Muslims, and also the Hajj ritual, as a small example of the extensive diversity of the Islamic world, can serve to elevate human society and improve the health and security of all people. Hajj can bless all humanity with a spiritual and moral elevation, and this is the vital need of humankind today. Hajj can annul and render ineffectual all the plans of the arrogant powers and Zionism for the moral downfall of humanity, today and in the future, that which is a necessary condition for the occurrence of this universal impact is that, as a first measure, Muslims themselves should properly hear the life-giving message of Hajj and do their utmost to implement it. The two main foundations of this message are unity and spirituality. Unity and spirituality are what guarantee the material and spiritual advancement of the Islamic world and is enlightening the entire world. Unity means being connected both intellectually and in practice. It means that hearts, thoughts, and orientations come closer together. It means a synergy in science and experience. It means having an economic connection between Islamic countries. It means the existence of trust and cooperation between Muslim governments. It means working together against common, definite enemies. Unity means that the plots designed by the enemy cannot set Islamic denominations, nations, races, languages, and the diverse cultures of the Islamic world against each other. Unity means that Muslim nations should know each other, not through the enemy's seditious descriptions, but through communication, dialogue, and interaction. They should be aware of each other's potential and capacities and make plans to benefit from them. Unity means that the scientists and universities of the Islamic world work hand in hand together. The scholars of Islamic schools view each other in good faith and with tolerance and fairness, and they listen to each other's words. The intellectual elites in all countries and of all denominations acquaint the people with each other's commonalities and encourage coexistence and brotherhood. Unity also means that political and cultural leaders in Islamic countries should prepare themselves in a coordinated manner for the situation that will exist in the upcoming world order. They need to determine with their own hands and by their own will the proper place for the Islamic Ummah in the new global experience, which is filled with opportunities and threats. They should not allow the bitter experience of the political and territorial engineering of West Asia at the hands of Western governments after the First World War to be repeated. Spirituality means advancing religious ethics. The enhancement of ethics minus religion, which has long been promoted by Western intellectual sources, has resulted in this unrestrained collapse of ethics in the West that everyone in the world is witnessing. Spirituality and ethics should be learned from the Hajj rituals, from the simplicity that exists in ihram, from the negation of illusory privileges, from feeding the destitute and the needy, from there is to be no sexual contact, vicious talk, or disputing, from the circumambulation of the entire Ummah around the axis of monotheism, from the stoning of the devil, Shaitan, and from the disavowal of the polytheist. My brothers and sisters who are performing the Hajj, take advantage of the opportunity that Hajj provides to contemplate and ponder on the secrets and mysteries of this unparalleled obligatory action and make it a provision for the rest of your life. At this juncture in time, and more than in the past, unity and spirituality are subject to the enmity and sabotage of the arrogant powers and Zionism. The U.S. and other centers of arrogance are strongly opposed to the unity of Muslims, to the understanding between nations, countries, and Islamic governments, and to the religiosity and commitment to religion of the younger generation in these nations. They are intensely opposed to these, and they will fight these with any means they can. It is the duty of all of us, the duty of all nations, and the duty of our governments to stand against this evil scheme of the U.S. and Zionist regime. Ask the all-knowing, all-powerful God for help. Strengthen the spirit of disavowal of the polytheist in yourselves, and oblige yourself to spread and strengthen this spirit in the environment where you are living. I ask Almighty God to grant all of you, Iranian and non-Iranian pilgrims, success and an accepted and blessed Hajj. And I wish for all of you the accepted prayers of the great vestige of Allah remaining on earth, Imam Mahdi. May our souls be sacrificed for him. May God's greetings and mercy be upon you. Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Dhul-Hajjah 6th, 1444, June 25th, 2023.
Well, Muslim pilgrims are converging on Mount Arafat in Saudi Arabia as part of the annual Hajj rituals. While the pilgrims are marking the Day of Arafat, one of the high points of the Hajj pilgrimage, they are expected to use the day for prayers as Muslims believe that God Almighty forgives all their sins on this day. Well, the Hill of Arafat is also known as Jabal al-Rahma. That means Mountain of Mercy, where Prophet Muhammad delivered his final sermon calling for equality and unity among Muslims. More than 2.5 million pilgrims are performing Hajj this year after Saudi Arabia removed all COVID-related restrictions for the first time since 2019.
The anticipation for the Muslims who have converged on the holy city of Mecca for the Hajj pilgrimage is almost over. For the past few weeks, they have been arriving to the city and preparing themselves physically and spiritually.
We've come here to perform tawaf around the house of God, and it's right before we leave for Arafat, and it's a good feeling. I hope everyone experiences this.
They come from different countries and speak different languages, but they all have one thing in common, and that is that they are worshiping one God, each in their own way. The annual pilgrimage of Hajj is a mandatory religious duty for Muslims that must be carried out at least once in a lifetime, given they are physically and financially capable of doing so. But limitations could make the wait quite long.
I waited a lot of years so that one day I could come here to pray, and right now I'm very happy.
But for the ones that have made it, it's a dream journey. They make the most out of every moment by praying and repenting before God. But for many Muslims back in their countries, the wait goes on.
The rituals of Hajj take place in and around Mecca and will last 5 days. All the pilgrims that are taking part in this ceremony hope to go back home a better person before they get into the hustle and bustle of their everyday lives. Lahitahami, Mecca.
Well, we've talked to academic and political analyst Hakima Ishaqi Abidi about the significance of the Hajj pilgrimage against the backdrop of a new emerging world order. And she says Hajj teaches all human beings, not only Muslims, to move towards a world based on equality and justice.
The Hajj has been there for the whole of humanity. It has been there before Islam, and Islam brought more significance to the issue of Hajj and to, you know, this pilgrimage, and gave it life, basically. So it has a message for the whole of humanity, and that is why you see that different human communities around the world that are interested in justice and are interested in achieving equality and a just way of living on this earth are attracted to the Hajj pilgrimage. And that is why in some of the words of Ayatollah Khamenei about the Hajj in this year, we saw that he mentioned the significance of Hajj for the coming world order, that in the new world order we could actually get a lot of lessons from this pilgrimage, that how the human world should be organized. It should get beyond all those different hierarchical ways of looking at humanity, that, you know, some human beings are superior to others and some human beings have the right to basically exert their own will and interests on everyone else. In the next world order, in the world order that is to come, we should, as human beings, and especially Muslims, should take the agency and take the initiative and take lessons from the Hajj.
Hundreds of Israeli protesters have blocked the street and scuffled with police in a demonstration that escalated into violence outside of the home of an Israeli minister in the city of Modin. Protesters banged drums, set a tire ablaze, and hung large signs on the neighbors' balconies protesting the so-called judicial overhaul package. Police have arrested 6 people. The proposed changes, which include curbs on the Supreme Court's ability to rule against the cabinet, has sparked months of frequent street rallies in Tel Aviv and elsewhere. The latest protests come after Israeli lawmakers began debating a bill limiting the court's powers, rebooting a fiercely opposed judicial overhaul instigated by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Similar rallies promoted Netanyahu to suspend the so-called judicial reform package back in March. But last week, he ordered the resumption of his judicial drive. Now to Russia, where President Vladimir Putin says the country was not forced to pull combat units out of Ukraine to put down the mutiny by Wagner mercenaries. Putin made the comment during a ceremony holding a minute's silence for the pilots killed during the aborted rebellion. He said Wagner mercenaries could not draw the people and the army into the mutiny. Putin added that the military managed to stop a civil war by confronting the mutineers. That echoed his earlier remarks. He had said the revolt was a plot by Western enemies and traitors who wanted Russians to kill each other. The rebellion was called off in less than 24 hours following a Belarusian brokered agreement between the Wagner Group and Moscow. Earlier, we were joined by Russian journalist Isha Krishnaswamy from Mariupol. Here's her take on Vladimir Putin's response to the revolt by the Wagner paramilitary group.
I think he handled it in a very methodical process, because as we all know, things could have gotten out of hand, and instead of just maybe 12 or 15 people dying, there could have been hundreds or thousands. And so I think we also, it is good that they were able to broker a deal. And one thing that is different is that I heard from President Lukashenko that the Russian government will not pursue charges. But then now President Putin says that he plans on bringing the organizers to justice. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy, which we need to see how it'll play out and what exactly the deal that was brokered was.
Well, staying with Russia, the country's Federal Security Service says it has dropped charges against members of the Wagner mercenary group, which launched a rebellion last week. The FSB says the criminal case opened over the group's armed mutiny has been closed. The announcement came after chief of the mercenary group, Yevgeny Prigozhin, declared that he would step down and ordered his men to stop their march towards Moscow. Meanwhile, the Kremlin has said that the failed armed mutiny has not shaken President Vladimir Putin's position. New figures from Britain's National Health Service show the cost of living crisis in the country has taken a heavy toll on the mental health of children and youngsters. According to the data, a record 1.4 million under 18 sought help for mental problems in 2022. That was the second year in a row the referrals beat the 1 million mark. Authorities say mental issues among school-aged children have undergone an explosion since 2019, partially due to the coronavirus pandemic. Meanwhile, the Young Minds charity, which has analyzed and reported the NHS data, says its own numbers show young people are facing a unique combination of challenges, mostly due to worries about money. The UK and many other Western countries face record inflation figures, mainly triggered by the Ukraine war and sanctions on Russia, which led to major disruptions to global energy and food supplies. The economy remains at the center of friction between China and the West. The Chinese Prime Minister has taken a swipe at the U.S. and the EU for their economic policies toward his country.
In the West, some people are hyping up what is called cutting reliance and de-risking. These two concepts are a false proposition because the development of economic globalization is such that the world economy has become a common entity in which you and I are both intermingled.
These remarks come as the European Commission outlined its approach toward Beijing last week. The approach revolves around de-risking and aims to reduce dependence on China in critical technologies. The U.S. has also adopted a similar stance, with President Joe Biden taking a hard line on Beijing. He has barred American companies from exporting high-tech semiconductors to China. Despite Western measures, the Chinese economy continues to grow. The Chinese government says the country is on track of reaching its annual economic growth target of around 5%. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
Allah. این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
In the limelight.
Economists say sick economies must experience pain to get better, as there are no other ways to treat them. They must raise interest rates to reduce inflation, but that kills economic growth and increases the cost of borrowing. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Sputnik News Agency has covered this story and tells us more. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, Executive Director for Russia, Alexei Mushkin, said many countries around the world, including Western countries, are in a critical condition due to their high levels of public debt. Alexei Mushkin said after COVID pandemic, there was a big recession in the economy. Budget deficits increased and had to be financed by increasing public debt. Many countries found themselves in a critical situation in terms of public debt, including Western countries. He said years of irresponsible budgetary and monetary policy, including pumping money into the economy to revive it, lie at the heart of the current debt crisis. Alexei Mushkin pointed out that the example of Japan shows it is possible to kick the can down the road to avoid default for a long time, but at the cost of the Japanese economy not growing for 30 years. He added, "This is the case with other economies as well. The Italian economy has not grown for 20 years. Mushkin added, "All these are consequences, first of all, of the skyrocketing level of public debt." He added, "Almost all European countries are now facing significant levels of debt, including Britain, France, Spain, Portugal, not to mention Greece and Italy, characterizing the situation as simply awful." At the same time, Alexei Mushkin said sick economies must experience pain to get better, as there are no other ways to treat them. They must raise interest rates to reduce inflation, but that kills economic growth and increases the cost of borrowing. Mushkin added, "If there is a huge public sector, it means that budget consolidation, achieving budget surplus, is required. This requires either an increase in taxes in order to increase budget revenues or a reduction in budget expenditures. Both kill economic growth. The countries of the collective West cannot cope with these challenges because of the ruling populism in those countries. The very political system of these countries leads to the fact that they have a complete fixation on short-term indicators. Alexei Mushin added, good growth and low unemployment must be achieved today at all costs. Otherwise, you may lose the upcoming elections. And elections are held there almost every year. Mushin noted that states that find themselves in a critical situation because of high debt are able to avoid defaulting by issuing new government bonds and forcing their own banks to accept the government debt. Alexei Mushin added, Europe will gradually turn into a region with an average standard of living. This is a tragedy, but I do not see the ability of the authorities to allow pain. According to economists, the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, is having a hard time lending new loans to many low- and middle-income countries who have skyrocketing public debt. They say, since the International Monetary Fund lends money, it turns out that its loans lead to a further increase in the public debt of these countries. Economic experts say that the International Monetary Fund has enough funds to support countries in need, but many of them found themselves in a severe debt crisis. They point out that there is a need to lower the public debt, restructure it, and partially write it off. They say, however, such action is hampered by the presence of different categories of creditors, including international organizations, individual countries that provide bilateral interstate loans, and commercial creditors who simply buy government bonds. Meanwhile, Alexei Mushin added, we don't even know the names of these commercial lenders because they force the authorities of countries to sign so-called confidentiality agreements when granting loans. Basically, these are American non-bank financial institutions such as asset management funds. IMF's executive director for Russia said the International Monetary Fund has already changed lending rules 3 times in the case of Ukraine, adding, for Ukraine, the International Monetary Fund has already changed the lending rules at least 3 times since 2015. Speaking about the financial package for Ukraine, Alexei Mushin indicated that within the total amount of borrowings of $15.6 billion, most of the funds are intended to repay Kiev's debt to the IMF on previous loans. Alexei Mushin added, in fact, the International Monetary Fund solves 2 tasks here. First, it allows avoiding a Ukraine default to the fund. There has never been such a case in the history of the International Monetary Fund. Mushin added, and secondly, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, kind of helps meeting the wishes of the main shareholder. Wire website has also covered the same story and tells us more. International Monetary Fund spokesperson Julie Kozak said recently that the IMF Executive Board will consider the disbursement of a $900 million tranche for Ukraine later in the month. In March, the IMF Executive Board approved a 4-year funding arrangement for Ukraine worth $15.6 billion. She said the International Monetary Fund can help minimize the negative consequences of the current period of devastation and collapse in global cooperation and survive itself in the process. She said, I still hope that the International Monetary Fund will survive because I really believe in global cooperation, that this period of devastation and collapse will end someday. During the very period of devastation and collapse in global cooperation, the International Monetary Fund will be able to play a role in limiting the negative consequences. Kozak said, the collective West is making every effort to prevent China from receiving back what it is owed by heavily indebted developing countries, adding, the West seeks to ensure that the developing countries with a high level of public debt do not pay China, but not other creditors, including private holders of government bonds of these countries. She noted, China has become the main creditor of all developing countries, adding that the structure of debt obligations has changed a lot with the decrease in the share of Western countries who are members of the Paris Club of Creditors and the club dictating to Beijing the terms of the debt write-offs and the IMF dictating the terms of debt restructuring. Meanwhile, the International Monetary Fund Executive Director for Russia, Alexei Mushkin, said the Chinese, on the one hand, are trying to find some way out. They are not enemies of these poor countries. You need to understand that if China finances, then it is the banks that finance. They finance specific projects to build a new airport or a seaport there. Alexei Mushkin explained that China possesses debt write-offs until commercial creditors take a similar step, but they sit and do nothing. Alexei Mushkin added, there is a huge element of scam in everything. The holders of government bonds finance the budget deficit at huge, completely usurious interest rates, and it is not clear how to deal with them.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are here with the second session of talking about the 31st letter of the book Nahj al-Balagha. This letter on this book is written from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba in a place called Al-Hadirin on his way back from the Battle of Siffin, 3 years before his martyrdom. On the very first paragraph, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam describes his stance as the father to the recipient of the letter, who is his son, not just as Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, but as any son, or as any father would describe his situation to any son on his letter of will. Amir al-Mu'minin then continues. We talked about the fact that Imam said, I am the dweller of the residence of the dead, meaning this dunya, the abodes of the dead. And the father is due to depart from this dunya or from this residence in any day or in any time, meaning that he sees death to be there, to be close, to always be there. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in Sahifa Sajjadi has a beautiful term. He says, oh Allah, don't make it to be that we get to remember death only once in a while. Make it to be something constant. And one of our teachers were making fun of our situation. He said, oh Allah, make us remember death at least once in a while. If we don't remember death at all, make it so that, make our lives in a way so that we remember it once in a while. Imam says, as-sakinu masakinu as-sakinu masakinu al-mawta wa-dha'inu anha qadan, who is due to depart from this life of dunya in any day. To whom? Then Imam describes the recipient, his son. He says, إِلَى الْمَوْلُودِ الْمُؤَمَّلِ مَا لَا يُدْرَكِ, to the son who yearns for what is not to be achieved. O my dear son, O my beloved son Hassan, not every single dream that you have in this life of dunya, you will achieve it. It is a lie that we are told in this life of dunya that everything we can absolutely achieve, every dream that we have, we can find out and achieve and get. That is something that we have to get along with. That is a reality that we have to accept. Let's take a break and inshallah we'll be back. ¶¶
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Dear listeners, we're talking about the 31st letter of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha to our beloved Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba on the final years of the life of Amir al-Mu'minin. We got to the point that Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was describing the recipient of the letter. He says, "إلى المولود المؤمل ما لا يدرك," to the son who yearns for what? Or who dreams for what is not to be achieved or is not meant to be achieved. Believe it or not, the media, the culture nowadays, whether it's the West or the East, really gives us this wrong idea that everything that in this dunya you can achieve. You can become a doctor, you can do this, you can become the wealthiest man on the earth, and all these worldly dreams and ambitions, you can achieve all of them. And the reality is, Amir al-Mu'minin, when he says to his son, "Al-mu'ammal ma la yudrik," the majority of our dreams and ambitions will never, ever be achieved. We only achieve what is khair for us. Al-mu'ammal ma la yudrik. This is not meant to be the purpose of the life of this dunya. As-salik sabil man qad halak. As-salik sabil man qad halak. The person that who is treating to the son, who is treating or who is going and proceeding to the through the path of those who have died, who have faced halaka. This is the dunya, my beloved son. Let me be very clear with you. This is getting very serious. There's no joke here. We will all face death. Everyone in this dunya, wealthy or not wealthy or poor, black or white, Iranian or American, Muslim or non-Muslim, men or women, children or the elderly, everyone will face death at any time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. No one can go above this law. No one can go above this ruling and this reality. No one can escape from. غرض الأسقام, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, how beautifully you stated this. غرض الأسقام, the targets or the victim of ailments and pains and sorrows. We'll come back together after taking a short break, inshallah.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
All right, we're back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, with 31st letter of Nahj al-Balagha. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, in his letter to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, he says, my beloved son, Hassan, we in this world are gharad al-asqam. We are the victim of ailments. You are going to face disease. You're going to face troubles and tribulations, difficulties, tests, disease, sorrows, pains, loss. All of it will come on your way. وَرَمْيَةِ الْمَصَائِبِ رَمْيَةِ الْمَصَائِبِ, who is entangled in the worries of the days, in the concerns of the days. How beautifully Amir al-Mu'minin used the words ramya. If you remember in the Holy Quran, we have وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Ramya, meaning that it means that when you are shooting with a gun or with any other weapon, when you're shooting or when you're throwing an arrow, you're having a target and you throw it and it hits the target. Ramya means throwing an arrow or shooting. And Amir al-Mu'minin says, describes the masa'ib of this dunya, the difficulties and hardships of this dunya, the concerns and worries of this dunya to hit us like the arrows, like the bullets. It'll hit us, it'll target us, it'll follow us. Who is the target of the hardships? Karinel, Rahinatel Ayyam, Baramyatel Masa'ib. And then Imam says, Wa'abd dunya, a slave of this world. A slave of this world. Or nowadays, we say slave of the system. That is what we have been raised to. That's what how the situation, how the life of this dunya has made us to become, that we should free ourselves from. Inshallah, we'll continue with the 31st letter of Nahjul Balagha in other sessions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. in the limelight.
In Britain, recommendations from independent pay review bodies could be rejected by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak if he deems them to be unaffordable. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Unions have expressed outrage over reports that the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak plans to block public sector wage increases owing to fears about pushing up UK inflation, which remains worse than in other leading economies. Recommendations from the independent pay review bodies could be overruled by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak if they are considered unaffordable, the Times newspaper reported, because of concerns that they could set off a wage price spiral. The possible move has drawn criticism from union leaders who said a decision to overrule recommendations would have profound consequences for future industrial relations, and that playing politics with working people's incomes would put everyone's futures at stake. Instead of blaming workers who can't afford to put food on the table or petrol in their cars to get to work, ministers should focus on a credible plan for sustainable growth and rising living standards, said the TUC's General Secretary Paul Novak. The latest wave of public sector industrial action is expected next month, with junior doctors set to strike across England for 5 days in July, the longest such stoppage in the history of the National Health Service. Teachers have also planned fresh strikes for 5th and 7th of July. Increased pressure on the government to improve its pay offer comes as pay review bodies for teachers and junior doctors have submitted advice to ministers, expected to be released next month, alongside formal pay offers. An independent review body is to recommend a 6.5% pay rise for teachers in England. The government last offered junior doctors 5% to end their long-running dispute, which was rejected by the junior doctors. The government is still struggling to bring down inflation, despite Prime Minister Sunak's promise to halve the inflation rate. Last Thursday, the Bank of England increased interest rates to 5% from 4.5%, the 13th hike in more than 18 months. Britain's inflation remains stubbornly high at 8.7%, and UK household bills are among the biggest rises in the G7, while mortgage rates are at their highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. Responding to reports, the General Secretary of the Teachers' Union, NASUWT, said the Secretary of Education, Gillian Keegan, risks demonstrating even more contempt for the profession and a disregard for children's education should she ignore the pay review body process. Education is already being damaged by the worst teacher recruitment and retention crisis in over 50 years, but the Education Secretary appears willing to turn the current crisis into an unmitigated disaster, said Patrick Roach. If the government chooses to ignore the recommendations of the pay review body, this will have profound consequences for future of industrial relations, with industrial action likely in the autumn, Patrick Roach added. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the Treasury said, "We have now received the recommendations from most of the pay review bodies. The government is considering these and will respond in due course. No decisions has been taken at this time." Sky News has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Trades Union Council, the TUC, has criticised the government amid reports that Prime Minister Rishi Sunak could overrule recommendations by pay review bodies for raising public sector wages. Reports that Prime Minister Sunak could block 6% pay rises for public sector workers have been criticised by Britain's unions. The Trades Union Congress, the TUC, accused the government of blaming workers who can't afford to put food on the table. After the Times reported that the Prime Minister could overrule recommendations from independent pay review bodies. Government sources didn't deny the claim, saying the pumping money direct into the economy risks fueling inflation, but added that pay settlements were being kept under review and no decisions had been made as of yet. Advice from the pay review bodies for teachers and junior doctors has now been received by ministers and is expected to be published next month, alongside the government's formal pay offers. It has been reported that the recommendations for teachers is higher than previous settlements and could stretch to 6.5%. Speaking to The Times, Britain's Education Secretary Gillian Keegan said, "If we fuel inflation, we will all be poorer for longer. It's impacting the price of everything." But what often looks like the obvious answer, pay me more, we all know how that works. Department for Education officials said the Education Secretary Gillian Keegan was speaking broadly about public sector wages and was not speculating on the outcome of the independent pay review process.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reward of the person who dies on the way to Hajj. As you know, we are in the month of Zilhajjah. The month of Zilhajjah, as you know, is a very sacred and important month. And it is the month in which the Muslims from all around the world travel to Mecca to perform the Hajj rituals. And so it's a very auspicious day and auspicious month. In this session of Hadith of the Day, we will be looking at the reward of the one who dies on the way to Hajj. As you know, in the past, the journey to Mecca for the performance of the pilgrimage was not as easy as it is today. You know, today, it's really quite simple. You know, you get on the plane, you go to Hajj, you come back, even though As we've seen in the last couple of years, the performance of the Hajj pilgrimage is not something very easy. A lot of, as you know, there was an event which occurred a couple of years back when a lot of pilgrims they were trampled and during the ceremony of the Hajj and they died. But in any case, it definitely is a lot easier than it was in the past. You know, people in the past, you know, they didn't have means of transport. They used to travel to Mecca on foot, sometimes on horse, sometimes on camel. And there was a lot of dangers that they encountered on the way, sickness, thieves, highway bandits, you know, bad weather, these kind of things. It used to take them a long time to get from their respective homelands to Mecca to perform the Hajj. And in fact, one historian, it's interesting to note that one historian, he writes that there was a Muslim from China. And he wanted to perform the Hajj pilgrimage. He traveled there. It took him approximately half of his entire life to get there and come back. That's how difficult it was in the past. So a lot of people died along the way. That's why, in this, usually in the past, when somebody wanted to go to Hajj, he would say farewell to his family with the intent that, you know, perhaps he might not come back. And so it was a very dangerous journey. Therefore, the reward of it is, the reward for the person who dies on the way was very great. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whoever dies on the road to Mecca, on the way there or back, regardless of whether you died on the way there and you haven't performed a pilgrimage, or on the way back after having performed it, this person will be safe from the great terror on the day of resurrection. Amina min al-faza'il akbar yawm al-qiyamah. And so he'll be safe and he'll be secure from the fear on the day of resurrection. And in a similar tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has also been reported as having said, whoever dies in the state of ihram. So here, this is a little different, not on the way there or on the way back, but in the state of ihram, during the performance of the pilgrimage, Allah will raise him, like the people who died a couple of years ago while they were performing Hajj. Allah will raise such a person obedient to him, saying, here I am, O Allah, saying labbaik to Allah, which is, you know, one of the things that the Hajjis say. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reward of the one who dies on the way to the Hajj pilgrimage. In the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay. Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. And now, soaring inflation in the United Kingdom and a cost of living nightmare has pushed hundreds of thousands of striking Britons out onto the streets. Country's financial problems numerous, sectors unhappy with pay and work conditions endless, and the government's response many.